Hello, hello, Tyler Bryden here. I hope everything is going well. This is a video that is a challenging one to make. Not even sure that I'm going to share it out. And what I'm talking about in this video is preparing for my first DMT experience. And so this is definitely not a how-to guide. This is me, working through how I can get to a spot where I feel prepared to have that experience. And some of that is informed by past psychedelic experience, as well as a lot of, reading and material online, some much more science-based, some much more cultural or mainstream media, or at least sort of podcasts and things like that. Either way, I think this is a really exciting time, also a very nerve-wracking time. Definitely have some of these ideas of this sort of pre-flight jitters and some anxiety, but I think that is expected thing to have when you're dealing with a very powerful psychedelic substance. And so what is DMT? So scientifically, if we look at it, it's like a naturally occurring psychoactive alkaloid. It's in a lot of plants and animal life forms, and even has been found to be in part of the human brain. Super interesting, specifically the pineal gland. At one point, this was not necessarily, this was more of a theory, but it seems like this has been more proven. And there's lots of questions around what happens after death or as you're dying with DMT, and also in dream states. So super, interesting substance, one that I'm have been, I heard about a long time ago, have always been interested in, and am excited to then have the experience with, sometimes called the spirit molecule. It's been, very sort of famously covered by in sort of these Joe Rogan podcasts, which obviously a lot of people listen to, and he's talked, quite highly about him, but then also talked about the risks. And I think more recently, one of the triggers for me was an article with Rick Strassman, who was, an incredible researcher who sort of pioneered some of the work around DMT. So he has a book here, there's another book that's coming out, and basically there were, through a clinical trial or research, there was a lot of work done with people who took DMT at large doses, and then research into this, what they experienced while they were there, a lot of just incredible work done on it. And before this, there was not really much understanding of it. So he was recently on this podcast with Joe, talked about it for at length, some really interesting moments, ones where shared positive things, but then also Joe, for example, talking about challenges with reality for several weeks after one of the experiences, and then just I think overall the change that can come from experiencing possibly different dimensions, and then your brain trying to wrestle with that understanding. So there's this idea that ignorance is bliss, and for some people, I think diving into these substances, especially ones that are as powerful as DMT, might not be necessary, might not be desired. And so for me, I'm also questioning, why. Why am I doing this? Why am I trying this? And, along before I answer that question, I guess before this is not an encouragement to do DMT. It's not, I'm not sourcing any of this. I'm not even really promoting it anyway. It's more of like a harm reduction video for myself personally. And if it does get shared, hopefully it is for other people who are preparing for their journeys, or maybe have already had one and are trying to connect with people who are going through similar experiences. And for me, I have had similar, why am I doing this? I had, when I was turning, just in my early 20s, just turning sort of 20, I had for some reason this call, and that call at the time was psilocybin, it was mushrooms. And I don't know what exactly triggered that or why, and started this new decade. And some of those psilocybin experiences that were high dose, I didn't have definitely the knowledge, I didn't have the mental resilience that I had, and I actually had a very difficult time with some of the lessons and the insights that came at such a high speed through those, and then sort of accelerated by the heart attack of my father who lived, and then the end of my hockey career, and then compounding with some too much partying at because of a championship with that hockey and being surrounded by sort of a very big party atmosphere. All that led into actually a very both positively transformative, but also a destructive time in my life where I ended up, you know, overweight and isolating myself and really, in a way, doing a lot of inner exploration, but, you know, abandoning a lot of my friends and seeing some of the structure of how I believe the world operated just crumble. And, you know, I've documented a little bit of that and more than happy to talk about it, you know, if, you know, people are interested in that. But, you know, recently I shared a video where I turned 30 years old. I'm turning 30 years old. So it's a decade later and I'm entering a new decade. And again, I've had this sort of call, from, this time DMT, and to me, I think it's a really powerful time to do this as I end one decade and then begin a new one. And the insights that possibly can come with that, I think, are very valuable, very important for personal development, personal growth, understanding of the world, understanding of the universe, understanding of experiences that I haven't had, but I've had friends, I've had people I admire who have had these experiences, and, you know, whether they've been positive or difficult, have taken away some insight from it and generally seem to have a beautiful perspective on life about oneness, about unity, about love, things that I care deeply about and continue to try to make part of my life. And I think since those transformative experiences in my early 20s, which, you know, I really reduced the amount of alcohol, I really changed a lot of things in my life for the better. You know, I think I'm actually a much happier person overall. I have a lot of good things going on in my life. And so I think there is this sort of cost benefit analysis that's happening here. It's like, I'm pretty good right now, so why do I want to do this? And yet here I am pushing forward. And I think pushing forward into the unknown has always been something valuable for me. Curiosity has always been valuable for me. You know, altering mind states, taking insights from those mind states and applying them back into my own personal life has been really beautiful and impactful part of my life. And so I sort of continue through, even with a level of sort of stability and happiness that I'm proud of achieving. And I think it's also what's given me the confidence to proceed with this experience. So there are like lots of things to sort of consider here. I have a ton of resources. As always, you can see if you've got many tabs open, so I'm going to drop these in the description of this video that may be posted. A couple other things that I'm sort of thinking about and working through is this idea of being like over-prepared versus under-prepared. And I've done a lot of reading. I've done a lot of listening. For things from like, you know, just, I won't share the audio of it, but like basically, and I don't know if I can see a moment in this, like basically rendered visualizations of what the experience, now this is a little bit ridiculous, obviously, but it's like Substance doing, done an incredible job, and he shared a lot of videos around this stuff, and YouTube video was taken down, and then he is now back, which is fantastic, because I think he's actually done a lot of good. And then the DMT safety guide, so reducing harm through education, talking about dosage, talking about preparing, how to do it, and then integrating experience after, and lots of good feedback back from people in comments as well too. And so I've linked these have been really helpful for me. The question, and then, you know, I've got a ton of sort of articles here about preparing for the first experience, and then just some sort of, I guess, what people might call trip reports, or just you know, resources around like how to, you know, set this up for success. And it comes back to, I think, many things, which is this idea of set and setting. Where's your mindset at? And then where are you doing this? Are you doing it in a safe, happy place? That is, you know, so when I look at how am I preparing for that, those are two check boxes that I know are so crucial to success, whether it's DMT or it's any other sort of psychedelic experience or just life in general. Other couple things that have really become part of my sort of routine, whether again ingesting psychedelics or just trying to live the best life, exercise, so went for a run, hydrating, good sleep, making sure that sleep is well taken care of. You know, for me, I would prefer to be like relatively light, you know, no carbs, no bread, things like that. And I sort of jinxed that a little bit last night by eating some roadies, but they were delicious and hard to say no. And so there's a couple sort of, I think, just baseline foundational check boxes that I'm hitting to then prepare. And then one of those is some of the research that I'm sharing here. And now there is again that conflict between over-prepared and under-prepared. And one of the things that I think comes from this is by reading and researching and watching, you start to take sort of cultural representations or stories of what happens in during DMT experiences, and then you embed that in your own subconscious, and then that can actually have an impact on the experience that you're having. So a lot of people familiar with Terrence McKenna, familiar with this idea of the machine elves, sort of, and you've heard Rogan talk about that, I've heard many people talk about that, and then some other people seem to then have that experience, and it's like, was this naturally occurring, or is this because you listened to Terrence? Is it because you listened to Rogan? Is it because you watched XXYZ kind of thing? And so then that then creates the experience that you're having. So like that's one of the questions that I'm having, and I'm trying to, so I've sort of tapered myself off towards the, not the research at the end. I feel actually quite well and well resourced here, and you can see how many tabs, and this has been over time that I've done this as well as watching videos, that I'm sort of preparing for this and trying to let go of some of those yeah, sort of not myths, but experiences shared by other people, and then focus on the experience that I'm having. So a couple other things that I think are really fascinating is this idea of, like, with DMT, there's this idea of various sort of, you know, light experience, mild doses versus basically what is like a full breakthrough experience. And I do have a really good article on it. I thought it was from Psychedelic Spotlight, and they do some interesting pieces here, and they sort of talk about the dosages are here, and then there's guidelines actually presented by MAPS. So MAPS has, I believe, you know, a lot of some multidisciplinary association for psychedelic studies, Rick Doblin, an entire you know, nonprofit and now a public benefit corporation who's dedicated a lot of time and resources and years and just beautiful willpower to bringing this to life, and then also figuring out the best way to do some of these things. And it talks about dose levels. So, you know, at a low dose, it's like a pleasant buzz throughout the body with little or no visual. As you start to move up, you start to get much more visualization. This is where people talk about the geometric patterns. And then you start at higher doses, those patterns dissolve into much more distinct images. And then at much higher doses, 35 to 60 milligrams, that's when you get the full blown effects. This is where people talk about the breakthrough, about being sort of transported into another dimension, to have a full detachment from their body. And this is where the really, you know, powerful moments happen. And I think powerful moments can happen through all of these. I don't know where I'm going to end up. I don't know if I'm going to be able to reach that, or, you know, if, you know, from my preparation, I'm looking to do a smaller, milder dose, see how that experience was. And because there's you know, a little bit of a you know, not as much tolerance built up in a lower turnaround time to try again, if makes sense, if feeling right, I might try for then a larger dose and see if I can get towards this breakthrough experience. And I think there's a lot of both you know, obviously physical things that you need to take care of to do that, but then also mental things to allow yourself to have that experience. But then I think there's also this idea of, if you get the right amount of dosage, it's going to happen anyways. So I will be navigating through that and using my own experience, you know, my understanding to make the best decisions at that time. And I don't think this is a race. Obviously, there is some idea around my, you know, starting a new decade and turning 30, but I don't think that should be a force mechanism for me to accelerate wanting to have this experience. And even since, you know, having access to the substance, there's been many times when I probably could have just gone ahead and took it, but I, you know, decided to delay it and remove this idea of like instant gratification, to make sure that I'm in the right time and place with this mindset and setting to be able to do this in the best way possible. All things considering that it's a, you know, scary ride, and a possible scary ride, a roller coaster, and an unknown experience. So lots of things to consider. One of the other pieces there, I think, is with that setting, recommended is to have a sitter. And so making sure that I am with someone, I will be, that I love, that I care about, that I'm comfortable with, in that comfortable environment, with a bit of understanding, at least at the very minimum, of what the experience that I'm about to go through is like, and being there to support me in case, you know, things get difficult. And that could just be as much as holding hand or rubbing or whatever that actually is, and just knowing that that person can detect and understand you and then help in the most supportive way in the moment when they're required. And a couple other things, you know, that are sticking out to me is sort of a divide between people recommending music versus not. the main recommendation I've seen is to listen to, and I've found this a lot in psychedelic experiences, is that if you are listening to music, don't maybe play it too loud, especially sort of in the experience we're trying to have with DMT, and lyrics and words that come in lyrics can be, I don't know if the word is the distraction, but it can have a significant sort of driver of where you're going on that experience. And so, you know, I would be selectively choosing music with no lyrics, instrumentals, calm, relaxing, deciding between music that I know versus music that I don't know, or something like lo-fi, hip-hop beats, or something that make me feel comfortable and happy, or something like East Forest, where I think was really valuable, but I do have a pretty good understanding of most of the songs, and so maybe that guides the experience a little bit. So lots of excitement, lots of nervousness here. I think that's perfectly reasonable. I will be trying to capture the experience for my own reference and self-understanding with just like audio, before and after. And I think, you know, just like a dream, coming out of a dream and trying to capture that before some of the experience fades away is really valuable. So I will be doing that, and then I'll be able to, you know, reference that back and reflect on it and hopefully share some insights after the experience with hopefully you, again, if I have the courage to be able to share this video. And then just generally, you know, the other core part of it is this idea of just sort of like intention setting. And for myself, I think intention setting is difficult, also difficult to do it on video here, but I think, you know, I would try in some ways, and this is going to be raw and edged, you know, and then I'm also trying to do that balance between knowing that this is an intention, I'm knowing that I have an intention of exploration and discovery, which I think is a valuable one itself. Like, this is my first time possibly going into a new realm. And so leaving myself open to that experience and not trying to put too rigid of intentions on that so that I can fully have that experience. Whereas maybe some of the intention setting that I'm hoping to do is further down the line if I continue to experiment and use these substances. And ones that stick out, you know, to me are, for me, it seems sort of weird, but I'm really sort of struggling with my relationship with food and sort of food addiction and sugar. And, you know, no matter the past experiences that I've had difficult with weight and how much it's had an impact on my body and my health, I still can't seem to bring final closure, but the willpower necessary to just not ingest, you know, food at this ridiculous pace and volume sometimes. So that's one thing that's really sticking out to me. I'm also looking at sort of like alignment with my purpose. And after a decade is done and you move into that, I think I've made a lot of trade-offs and compromises, and I've also done some things right during my journey. And what I'm hoping to do, and sometimes psychedelics has been very helpful with this, is like sort of help me identify if I am aligned, if I am living to my full potential, if I'm aligned with my purpose, if I'm helping the world be a better place, if the universe is, you know, if the universe and I are in alignment here. So that's something else that is really valuable to me, and something that I always good time to work for, especially as I plan out next year and the next 10 years and the next 20. What does that actually look like? And of course, there's love for psychedelics, and I've tried to work through how can I best be a part of this work without compromising on the ethics of it and the value of it. That's something that I'm definitely, you know, working through and trying to set some intention around, to think other things are just to be so grateful, and like trying to be more grateful, because and I'm getting better at that every day, but challenges, and it seems so simple, but it's like whether it's like buying a house is late and feeling impacted by the decision of doing that so late in life, or doing my own business and sometimes getting concerned that I made the right choice, or all these different things. Sometimes it makes me feel behind or not where I want to be, or as I turned 30 and I remember being young thinking where would I be at 30, I think I thought I would be so much further ahead. And so even though I'm so happy overall, there's still this idea of like I'm not where I need to be. And again, that can be positive, but it's not always a positive thing. And so I am looking for just that, you know, reconnection with how grateful I should be, first of all, to even be here and be alive, and then also to have the great people around me, the, you know, a place to live and be safe, and all these incredible things. So, you know, it's Those are sort of loose intentions. I may formalize more before the experience, and I hope that after I can do, the term would be like a trip report, but just a reflection, a review of the actual experience itself, and hopefully that is helpful for you, or hopefully helpful for someone. This is sort of my video and my process to do it. I've got some resources that I'll be sharing. If you are thinking of having the journey, or you know someone who is and want to share those, I found most of these to be helpful, insightful in some way. The other piece that I'm interested in is like the ingestion methods. As I said, you have freebase versus a vaporizer, and so those can have different impacts. And the other piece that seems really interesting is like it seems very hard to sometimes get to a breakthrough experience because you start to have overwhelming impacts of the DMT very quickly, and so having to push through that seems like something, a really interesting challenge in itself. So I will be hopefully reporting on those challenges, and hopefully with positive ones. And even if not, take some time to process and integrate and understand what I've went through and understand what I've learned, and then following that, I have a journey to Burning Man, and have even more sort of a version of that, but without DMT for sure. So this has been Tyler Bryden. If you like this, please feel encouraged to send me a message. Do you have any other thoughts or insights? Would love to hear from them. It's obviously something I'm super excited about, but also super sort of nervous, not even about, first of all, I'm nervous about doing that, but nervous more about sharing this video if I choose to. Hopefully if I do that, the impact that the perception of people have on me personally and maybe professionally and the opportunities that I have in this world, I hope they don't get limited by this. But I also think that by sharing these experiences in the past, it's allowed me to connect with the people who I'm meant to connect with, and those have opened up so many doors and opportunities in its own way. Very grateful for anyone who watched this entire video. I love you very much. I'm looking forward to this and excited and all the feelings that come with something like this. I love this idea of control in my life, and in some ways I'm experimenting with letting myself lose control in a way, and knowing that I can still be safe, knowing that I can still be good, and then that's having ripple effects through the rest of my life. So excited to share that journey with you. Thank you again for checking this out. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I look forward to reconnecting soon. Bye-bye.